You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We had prayer here for a young lady, Donna Davis. Her mother, she'd come into the food bank and she was really distraught. She only come down for prayer. She didn't come down for food. She said she didn't want any food. She just wanted prayed for. And her mother had been, actually she had been admitted to the hospital. And she was basically, they didn't give her much of a chance to live. They said that her brain had basically just quit functioning. And she said that she had a pastor and his wife that was praying for him, praying with him and helping him. But she said when she woke up that morning, God told her, said, I want you to go to the food bank for prayer. She said, you'll get some help. And we couldn't hardly talk to her because Mari prayed for her first inside the room before we ever got to where I was at. And then I was with her for a while, prayed with her. And I just told her, I said, just fear not. I said, if Jesus was standing right here beside you, he'd tell you, fear not, just believe. And I said, Donna, your mother's going to live and not die. She will be okay, but just don't let the devil, just get rid of the fear right now. And anyway, she left this weekend. And this Tuesday, and she just couldn't wait till she got in. She was just bubbling. She was just, her face was just shining. And she said, you know, we got down there, and said, by the time we got down there, so my mother was raising up in bed, and she was saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Said she did that for 16 solid hours. Said she's a heavy woman, but said she was raising up out of that bed. And said, I finally told her, said, I asked the doctor about it, and the doctor said, I'm not going to give her anything because whatever we give her may make it worse. And if she comes out of this, great, but we're not going to give her anything to make it any worse. And finally she said, I just told Mother, I said, Mother, look, all you got to do is thank him one time, and that's enough. He's already heard you. He's already taken care of it. No, don't worry. She said, okay. Said she laid her head down, and she kept saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise God. Anyway, the report was that she was home. She was okay. She was going to live. She wasn't going to die. Everything was going to be, it was just a minor situation. So, you know, let's give the Lord a praise offering for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's hard to preach anything here that our pastor hadn't preached a million times. So, if you've heard something like this before, well, you can just give the pastor all the glory and honor that's due him. I try my best not to preach any of his sermons, but you can't. If you preach at all, you're going to preach a sermon that he's preached at some point in time. But in preparing for the service tonight, you know, there's a lot of things that kind of goes through your mind when you start preparing to minister. And there's a lot of things that maybe you want to minister on. There's a lot of things that you think, well, has come up, and I'd like to minister on that, but. But, you know, God has a different avenue on situations, and he knows what the people want, what the people need. And what we're going to do tonight, we're going to talk about, I don't know if I really got a title for it, but we're going to cover some anointings of God. I can't cover them all because there's a lot of anointings that God has provided for us. We're going to talk a little bit about the power of God. And, you know, I'm convinced in today's church, especially a lot of them, that we don't see enough power. We don't see enough of the anointing of God. We don't see the miracles, the signs and wonders that God has provided and give us the ability through his son Jesus to experience. And you can kind of think back and since my ministry right now that God's got me in is working in a food bank, so let me just kind of go there for just a moment. The reason that we see miracles and signs and wonders in that environment is because people come expecting. Is that right, Larry? People come through that door knowing that they're going to get food, but that's not the important thing. After they've been there a time or two, or after they have been prayed for, or after the anointing of God has fell on them, or something has happened in their life, there's been a change because of the love and the compassion that people have shown. Then they start coming expecting to see a miracle. They come expecting to see God move. When we pray for them out there, or when we share something with them, they take that at heart. Because a lot of them are not churched. A lot of them don't go to church. A lot of them can't go to church. Or a lot of them are not in a situation where they can get the teaching and the love and the compassion that comes with fellowshipping in a church environment. That's as close as a lot of them will ever get to a church. But then I like when I hear somebody like Jonah say, "What time is your services start? I'd like to come visit." Had an older gentleman last week was wanting to come, and he apologized this week because he couldn't come due to some health reasons, but he said, "I'm coming." And he's a Church of Christ individual. I told him it doesn't matter because we're non-denominational. And you know what? If you're saved, if you know Jesus is your Savior, then you're welcome. You're welcome. And if he's not, we'll get you saved. Hallelujah. But what I was saying, I can recall back when I was growing up in a Pentecostal church, and I can remember prayer meetings. I can remember things. I can remember fasting. I can remember all of those kinds of things that propelled the anointing of God into services. When we'd have a revival, it wasn't a 3-day revival. It was a week, 2 weeks. If the anointing was flowing, it may be 3 weeks. It might be a month. And it wasn't because the evangelist, we just found him a good deal over here. No, it was because God was moving. There was things changing in people's lives. People were getting healed. There were signs and wonders and miracles taking place. When they would go to, when we'd have a revival, they would go to, they'd have prayer meetings in the mornings. And they would pray for a couple of hours. Sometimes people that needed baptized in the Holy Ghost, or people that was just needing, there's even been people, old sinners just come in and get saved during the prayer meetings that morning. My dad was one of them. come in and rededicate his heart and life to the Lord after about 35 years of walking away from him. Baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues for 3 hours. Come home, eat supper, and we all went back to church. And we had church that night. Now, why are you saying this, Mo? I'll tell you why I'm saying it. Because it's commitment. It's dedication. It's putting God first in your life. And allowing him to move as he can do. But see, God will only move when we allow him to move. God will only do the things that we allow him to do. He's provided those things for us. He's providing healing for us, but if we don't receive it, he's not going to get it. And I know times have changed, but God hadn't. His miracles hasn't changed. His healing hasn't changed. His anointing hasn't changed. What's changed? We have. And I don't want this to sound like I'm just beating them, because I'm not. I'm talking to me as well. But I long for those kinds of services. Not that we don't have anointed service. We do here. But I guarantee you the pastor would be the first one to tell you standing in this pulpit today that if the movement of God started flowing, the anointing of God started flowing, and the Shekinah glory of God just fell across this place. And I've been in services when it was like that. I've been in services when, I mean, the anointing would flow and most of the congregation would just fall out under the anointing of God. The power was so strong. My mother was totally healed of a black widow spider bite when I was about 10 years old. And it bit her on the side. And it got to be about this big around, and it was as black as this right here. And the doctor says, I don't think we're going to be able to do anything with this. I think it's gone too far. My sister lived in Oklahoma City. She came down on a bus, and she said, Mother, you're going back to Oklahoma City with me. We're going to Oral Roberts Healing Tent Revival, and you're going to get prayed for. Mother went. She came back totally made whole. Not a scar on her body. At 10 years old, you think that didn't have an effect on me? You think I didn't look at that and say, oh my God, there is a God. I knew there's a God. Because every time I lost one of my little arrows when I made my bow and arrow, I'd always ask God to help me find it. So I knew there was a God. I'd always ask him for it. Why am I saying this? I don't think there's a person in this building tonight that if the anointing of God began to flow and the power of God began to manifest itself to the point that everyone in here felt it. And we're not talking about just each person. We're talking about the power of God to be so strong the building shakes. I was reading some accounts of that just recently. Kenneth Hagin said that one night he was in a revival. He was up. He said, I wouldn't hardly get off the platform. He said, that was the Baptist part of me. He said, I preach right there. And, you know, he said, my wife used to tell me I could preach on a dishpan because I wouldn't move. But he said, I was up there one night preaching, and he said, all of a sudden, there was a cloud. A cloud moved into this building. He said it started from the top and it just sunk down. And he said when it sunk down, he said, I couldn't see anybody. And he said, I backed out of it because I knew if I got in it, I might not get out. I might not get to finish my sermon. He said, I just kind of stepped back. And he said, in just a short time, wasn't long, he said, that cloud lifted. And when it lifted, everyone in the building was laying prostrate on the floor. And every person that had a sickness in their body had been healed. Every person that was in that building that was unsaved gave their heart and life to the Lord right then and there. Now, in some churches, if that was to happen, you'd have a mass exit. If they could get out. If they seen it coming, they'd be gone. Call 911, there's a fire. Yeah, there is a fire. It's a fire of the Holy Ghost. But see, God wants that. God wants that. And we should have that desire just like God wants it. And you know, I don't know where I'm going to go with this now. But anyway, let's go to Acts, first chapter, fourth verse. Jesus was getting ready to leave. First chapter, fourth verse. And it said, being assembled together with them, with the disciples, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. He told them back in Matthew. He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem. He said, you're going to be endued with power from on high. He's reiterating. He said, I've told you this before. He said, when they therefore come together... verse 5 said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou be this time restore again? In verse 7 he says, it is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But in verse 8, it says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now here's where Jesus had told the disciples to go. You into the upper room. I'm leaving. But you go to the upper room and you tarry there. Now he didn't want them to sit there and play dominoes or Uno or anything like that. He said, you go tarry in prayer and worshiping me. Because not many days hence, you're going to be endued with power from on high. Now over in Luke chapter 4, 18, Jesus, coming back out of the wilderness, said he had been in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. And it says, Jesus, in the 14th verse, said, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Galilee, into Galilee, and then went out a fame of him through all the region about him. Now, he went into the wilderness. He had just got baptized by John the Baptist. The Spirit carried him into the wilderness, and he was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. But he said he came back. And when he came back with the power of God on him. And if you'll notice, he never did one miracle. He never did one thing until he was endued in power. Now, this is the Son of Man, Jesus. But he never preached. He never done. He never did anything of that nature until after he come out of the wilderness, until he was endued with power. And he says, and Jesus returned the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And when he came to Nazareth, and he had brought up, where he had brought up, and the custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him a book of prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me." He anointed me. He gave me the power. Anointed me, gave me the power to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We're going to try to talk about three different anointings tonight. There's many, but I'm going to center in on the anointing that Jesus had. Jesus was anointed to preach, to teach, and to heal. And he did all of those. He did more teaching than he did preaching. But you know what? Every person he touched, or every person that touched him, was healed. Like the woman with the issue of blood, when she touched the hem of his garment, that meant the power. He had the power to heal. And when she in faith touched the hem of his garment, she had already said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She touched the hem of the garment, and he was made whole, or she was made whole. Now, there are many others that could have been healed if they had been sick. But you know what? She made a statement that I'm going to go get my healing. I'm going to go. I've heard of him. I know he does miracles, and I'm going to receive my miracle. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment, if that's what it takes. That's the only place she could get. She was being pushed away, but she touched the hem of his garment. And he turned around. The disciples thought he was crazy. Well, there's a lot of people here pushing. There's a big crowd here. What do you mean somebody touched me? The anointing. I felt the anointing. Somebody touched me. Somebody, the tangible. Oh, Lord, that anointing had flown out of him, and he knew that somebody had a need, and they reached up and touched him. When we have a need, we can reach up and touch the hem of his garment. We can reach up with that anointing of God, that anointing that Jesus had. He has given to us. When he left, he said, "The things that I did, the works that I do, you shall do also. You shall do also." So what works did he do? Heal the sick. He preached to the poor. He opened blinded eyes. He called the crippled to walk. He opened deaf ears. Now, did he not say that greater things than this shall you do, because I go to the Father? He has given us that authority. He has given us that ability. He's given us that anointing. If we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, we have the anointing that God, that Jesus has. Now, through faith, we can be healed. But the anointing comes after you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. The anointing comes for you to be able to transfer that power to somebody else. Through the touching. Through the ministry. That's why he said, lay hands on the sick, and they shall. Did he say they might? He said, they shall recover. And it's just like a child. You know, a child will believe the things that you say. Their little minds are like sponges. And new Christians, new babes in Christian, are the same way. I can recall when I rededicated my life. I can recall how I soaked up every word that I heard a preacher say. I went to the revival. I studied everything I could find because I wanted what I knew was available. But we can do that. And it's through that anointing that Jesus has provided for us. And I've heard that old saying, unction to function. Well, there's scripture in the Bible talks about the unction. But the unction and the anointing is really the same thing. If you look at it in the Greek, it's the same thing. It means the same thing. But it's that anointing to operate in that office or in that area, in that healing. And if you're called, God will anoint you to do it. If you're called to a ministry, God will anoint you to do what you need to do. And you know, a lot of people, Eva operates in a lot of different areas. She operates in the word of knowledge, of prophecy. There's a lot of areas. That's not the area we're going into tonight, but there's an anointing for that. And when you're called to do it, God will anoint you to operate in that area. And it doesn't take a rocket science to lay your hands on somebody and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. All it takes is faith in Jesus, and it takes that anointing. You know, we're all kings. The Bible talks about that. And we do have a king anointing. And that king anointing is one of power and authority. It's one that we have, God has given us the ability to do. Okay, in Acts, Acts 2, verse 1. Go with me over to that. Said in verse 1, it said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I want you to listen to that. They were all in one accord in one place. That means they were all there praising and worshiping God and praying and centering in on what he's about to do. Because he said, if you'll go tarry, and if you'll go and focus on what's about to happen, and get in agreement with one another. So, you know, we have to agree with one another for situations in our lives. There's a lot of times, you know, the Bible says, when any two shall agree as touching anything on this earth, it'll be done by my Father in heaven. Any two. And I've heard Kenneth Hagin say, you know, there's a guy come in, he's holding revival one time, so this guy come up to him and he says, brother, he said, I'm sure glad you're here. He said, I've been looking for somebody to agree with me about a situation. He said, I couldn't find nobody that knows how to agree by the word of God. He said, I'm glad you're here, brother. He said, I need an agreeer. I need somebody to agree with me about this situation. And, you know, that's what it is. You're two. Any two agree as touching anything. It didn't say just one or two things, it said anything. And I like to say anything according to the word of God. But it'll be done. It'll be done by my Father in heaven. Because he loves us. He loves us with an agape love. He loves us with an unselfish love. No matter what we do or how we do it or what we've done in our lives, God loves us. And he wants us to have that same love. Jesus had that same love and compassion, and he wants us to have that. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It's what we were talking about a while ago, wasn't it? I was talking about a cloud of glory. Well, this was a mighty wind. It said it was a sound from heaven, and it was like a mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were all, every one of them, filled with the Holy Ghost. And he began to speak with other tongues as his Spirit gave them utterance. Now Jesus told them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go up there. I want you to tarry. You're going to be endued with power just a short time from now. And that's what happened. Jesus gave them power to go out and do the work that he did. If you remember, Peter was not very bold when Jesus was being tormented and persecuted and getting ready to be hung. crucified. But he denied Christ three times. But when this happened, he said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then a lot of them started mocking them, and they started asking a lot of questions. But Peter, in the 14th verse, says, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, which was many, many years before. Prophet Joel had already prophesied this was going to happen. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, does God want us to work under the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Does he want us to lay hands on the sick and they recover? Does he want to see miracles in our services? I know I do. And I know he does. And it's through that anointing and through that power that he has given us. Now, why don't we do it? Well, several reasons. One is we probably don't spend enough time studying the Word. We probably don't spend enough time praying and fasting. We really have got more on our plate than putting him first. And I'm guilty of that as anybody. Especially when sports season comes up, football season, things like that. I tend to want to watch sports, and I love sports. But you know, there's a time and a place. And if we're going to spend time with God, and if we're going to see miracles and signs and wonders, you know what? If we had a tragedy in our own family, like Donna Davis had the other day, there was a situation come up in our family, you know what we'd do? We'd everything. We'd drop everything. We'd find us a man of God or a woman of God. We'd go find somebody that would agree with us, that could pray with us, that could help us, and help us get through this situation. And there's people go through this every day. People that we can come in contact with every day that's experienced this very same thing, that we are either we're not in tune to it, we don't listen to them. You can find people to pray for, you can find people to witness to, you can find people to share the Word of God with if we just open ourselves up. And what happened here, after they were endued in power, pretty obvious that Jesus, after he was endued in power, after the power of the Holy Ghost come upon him, he went out and started ministering. Then he showed that to the disciples. He told them, when I leave, now I'm not going to be doing these miracles anymore. You're going to have to do them. Now, if we're going to carry this on, you're going to have to continue to do this. So he said, you go up there. Don't you do anything. Don't go out there and make a fool of yourself. Don't go out there and try to do something that you don't have the power to do. But you go and you stay in Jerusalem and you pray and you wait until you're endued in power. And once you are, then I want you out doing the same thing I did. And that's exactly what happened when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They went out and they began to minister and they began to share and they began to they didn't care what happened. They didn't care if they got thrown in jail. They didn't care. They were doing what Jesus told them to do. And they had the anointing to do it. So, and they went through a lot of tribulation. They went through a lot of tough times. But they had the anointing and the power to go do that. And signs and wonders followed them. It says, signs and wonders shall follow those that believe. They will cast out devils. You know? I want to see the power of God. I want to see it manifested in my life. I want to see it manifested in your life. I want to see it manifested in this church building. I want to see the Shekinah glory of God come down. I want to see this safe place filled with the Spirit of the Lord. I want to see miracles. I want to see people coming out of wheelchairs. You know, we deal with that every day. My wife's parents, as many of you know, Murtis and Rufus, they're 197. One's 100, one's 97. But you know what? To this day, I believe the reason they have lived so long is because of their commitment to God. And I believe today the reason they have lived so long is because that when something goes wrong in their family, prayer goes up. There's not waiting. Even before we go to a doctor, before we do anything, we're praying and believing God for a miracle, for a good long quality of life. God's promised that to us, and we can believe him for that. And I really believe that that's what has happened with them. You know, when he said that the works that I do, you will do, and greater works because I go to my Father. That's over in John 14, chapter 12. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works I do shall he do also, and greater works than this shall you do because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he said, hey, I'm leaving. I can't do these anymore, you know, from here. So I'm going to send you somebody that's going to be with you always, who's going to live in you, who's going to teach you all things. He says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. You know, he told him about the Holy Ghost because he wanted his children. He did not want to leave us here on this earth powerless. He didn't want to leave us defenseless. You know, we've got an enemy out here that we have to fight. And we have to put on our spiritual warfare to fight that. We can't do it carnally. But you know, through the Spirit, God has already given us the ability. He's already given us the anointing. He's already given us the power. So why should we fear? Why should we be concerned of what the devil is doing? Because we've got the anointing. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So who's in us? The Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost is there, then the devil might as well flee if we exercise that privilege. Now, if we don't exercise that privilege, we're going to be attacked, and we're going to be called a 911. We're going to be asking somebody to come help us. But we have the power, like Jesus did, say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Go on about your business." Because you're not going to attack this body. You're not going to attack this family. You're not going to attack my finances. You're not going to attack my son or my daughter. It's not going to happen. Not in my time. Because I have the Spirit of the Lord upon me. He wanted the devil to know that the transfer of power has been transferred to his children. And that nothing has changed. And that he was still a defeated foe. And we have that same anointing that's transferred to us. There's a lot of anointing of the ministry gift, which we won't get into tonight. But one of the things I wanted to... How we increase our anointing? By study and prayer. If you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you have the anointing of God on you. That anointing can increase. That anointing can decrease. We can increase that through study of the Word of God. Knowing what the Word of God has to say, and through prayer. Because as we pray for our Father, and even if we pray we just pray in tongues. We know. He knows. We don't necessarily know what we're saying, but he does. And we're saying the right thing when we do that. If you don't know what to say, you don't know how to pray, you don't know what to say to him, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you can pray in the spiritual language. And the unknown tongue. And he'll hear you. And that'll help to increase the anointing. And we're to yield to the anointing of God. But the one I want to get to, and I've got a few minutes left, is the corporate anointing. I want you to go with me to Acts 2. 46. Tell you what, let's go to verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. How did they do that? Through the anointing that God had given, through the power that God had endued them with. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord. There's that corporate togetherness, being in unison and agreement on all things. With one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of the heart, praising God and having the favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, when we are in agreement, when we get to agreement, whether it be praise and worship, and one of the things I wanted to get to tonight is the praise and worship. You know, in I believe it's 2 Chronicles 5. We get to that. Okay, 2 Chronicles 5, verse 11 and 14. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not them wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun and their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psaltery and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to the word, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. That's why I said earlier that praise and worship and singing in one accord under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and what it does, what it brings in the power, it brings in the anointing, it brings in the glory of God. The glory cloud of God will come in and settle upon us. The cloud of the glory of God will settle upon us to where we'll see the healings, we'll see the unsaved saved. We'll see miracles. And they did that because this. And I thought about that tonight when I was today when I was reading. I thought about our praise and worship team, and how that sometimes that we'll be in praise and worship, and we'll go to a song, and the anointing will begin to flow, and maybe right at the end of that song, Chris and them will take this thing into another level, and the anointing will begin to flow. People will begin to weep. You'll start to see. Everybody just concentrating on worshiping God. See, when that happens, that's when the anointing will begin to flow. That's when we'll start to see the cloud of glory. That's when we'll start to see things happen. And when that does happen in this church, we'll end up with a prophecy. We'll end up with a word of knowledge or a message in tongues interpretation. God will speak to us. That's only the beginning. We got more coming. We've got the power of God. You know, I think some of us, really, I think some of us sitting in our seats would be scared if the power of God got so strong that people begin to fall out. If somebody in front of you all of a sudden just fell out on the floor because the power of God was so strong, they were working on them. God was working on them. God was touching them. God was ministering to them. God was ministering healing to them. God was ministering to their family. God was giving them something that they had been praying for. They had been going through. But all of a sudden, when this Shekinah glory of God comes in, things are going to change. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I could talk on this anointing for a while, but I'm not going to get to it. We're about out of time. But listen, I just want to leave with you tonight that there is an individual anointing. There's an anointing that Jesus had on his life. There is a corporate anointing. That's when we get in one accord. That's when we start worshiping him, because they would always worship him first. Always worship him first and always give him the glory and the honor. And if we'll do that in our prayer life, then we'll begin to to honor him, then he'll begin to honor us with his truth. You know, the Holy Spirit not only come under for the power and the anointing, but he come to teach us and to give us the truth. And it'll help us discern the truth in things that we're confused about when he's in our life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this service tonight. I thank you for the anointing that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for the power that has been endued from on high. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, and we're anointed to preach. We're anointed to sing. We're anointed to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the Shekinah glory of God. We thank you, Father, as your Holy Spirit begins to fill this place, as your Holy Spirit begins to deal with people in this service. Father, in days to come, Father, that the they'll center in on what the Holy Spirit really is there for, and God, that we'll be able to honor you and serve you and see your power and see your anointing and see the miracles that takes place because of that. Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you.